Good morning. Well, this morning we're doing the last I Am of the I Am series, but this isn't the least of it. This is the I Am that pulls all the rest of them together, and for me, makes it make sense. We've been talking for the last month about the I Am claims of Jesus, and they weren't too well received by most people. Sometimes they said he was demon-possessed. Other times they said he was gross when he talked about, "I'm the bread of life. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And it said he had a lot of disciples quit following him. They said that we don't understand this. It's a hard saying. And they left. The 12 stayed with him. So people have different reactions to the I Ams of Jesus. And what we're going to talk about today, in my experience, is one of the brings on the strongest, either for or against what the Lord had to say. The text is out of John 8, just got the one verse, 8:58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for those who were able to come out today to hear this. Lord, I just pray that I will decrease, that you, Holy Spirit, will increase, that you will bring this text to our hearts, strengthen and confirm our faith, settle any doubts that we may have. Lord, I just thank you that you are willing to come in the flesh and pay the penalty for my sins on that cross and shed your blood. And I pray if there's any here today that don't know you, that have never called on your name, that this might be a day of salvation. I just again ask that you bless this study, open our eyes, open our ears, and our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And what was the crowd's reaction to this statement? I said, you know, in the introduction, sometimes they said you're demon-possessed, or one time they said you're bragging on yourself. I'm paraphrasing, of course. This reaction was unanimous among the crowd. It said they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. When these people picked up stones, they meant to kill you. And there was a reason why. They believed him guilty of blasphemy. And under the law of Moses, blaspheming God was punishable by being stoned to death. And when Jesus said this, they knew exactly what he was saying. And I say that because today I hear a lot of arguments and, well, Jesus didn't mean I am, the I am, you know, he meant I am. And some Bibles even translate a little different. But the Jews of his day perfectly understood what he was saying. If you remember, when God called Moses to go to Egypt, he'd been in the desert for 40 years taking care of sheep. He had left Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, and they wanted to take his life. And when God appeared to him, he said, "I want you to go back to Egypt." Well, Moses started having all these excuses why he couldn't do it. And at one point, Moses said to God, "If I tell them that you sent me, they're going to ask, what is your name?" The New Living Translation translates it like this. Moses said, "They'll ask me which God." Now, if you think about it, Israel had been enslaved in this nation for 400 years. The Egyptians had 10 major gods they worshiped, but they had a lot of gods. But there were 10 major ones. And the Jews were so inundated with this that they almost had a casual attitude when they talked about God. And I like the New Living's translation. I think it's a little more clear. Moses said, "They're going to say, which God? What's your God's name?" And this is the very thing that the Lord quotes. God said to Moses, I am who I am. If I come to the people of Israel, Moses said, the God of our fathers, and said, the God of our fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Until that time, God revealed himself as the Lord God. And Moses said, they're going to want a name. So the Lord said, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is the way I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So when Jesus said to these Jews, before Abraham was, I am, he was saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they were going to kill him. They thought he was guilty of blasphemy, but you know it's only blasphemy if it's not true. I've said through these scriptures we've been looking at that the I ams of Jesus demand a verdict on our part. We have to make up our minds, is he telling the truth? Is he who he claims to be, or is he a liar? I see a lot of things in black and white. I told you that seminar I went to, and that Muslim man challenged the speaker and said, you Christians say Jesus is this, we say he's that. And he stopped him and said, it doesn't matter who you say he is or who I say he is, who does he claim to be? And that stuck with me. And I think that's a very valid point. You remember when we talked about Jesus was speaking to the leaders, and he told him, if you do not believe I'm the one I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. Now, that's a statement that demands a verdict on your part. Because I've heard a lot of people say, well, Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was a prophet. We're studying the cults, and they got a lot to say about Jesus, and it's all wrong, in my opinion. But there's a lot of different opinions about who Jesus is. Well, there can be no mistaking what he said here. The people of his day didn't mistake it. They didn't say, well, you're crazy or you're demon-possessed. They picked up rocks and they were going to kill him. They said, wait a minute, you're claiming to be God. And as I said, it's only blasphemy if it's not true. Now, you remember the history of Israel. They got in a lot of trouble in their early years because God had warned them not to worship the idols, and they did. I just finished with 2 Chronicles in my private reading this morning. And the last chapter, Israel had this roller coaster ride. They'd have a godly king, then a wicked king, and a godly king and a wicked king. And Hezekiah had brought great religious reform to Israel. And his son Manasseh was more wicked, the Bible says, than any of the other kings. And they went back into a downhill spiral. But Manasseh was deported to Babylon, and he repented. And he prayed a prayer of repentance. And he told God, I'm sorry. And when the king let him go, he brought reform to Israel. That surprised me when I read that. This wicked king repented. That shows you the mercy of God. Manasseh repented of what he did. He told God, I was wrong. You are God. These other gods aren't. And he was a wicked man. And so it said God blessed him. Well, then they had another king named Jehoiakim who did what Manasseh did. And God said to Manasseh and to the other godly kings, I love what you're doing. You're bringing reform. But he said it's too late for the nation. I'm going to judge him. He said, I won't do it while you're alive. That way you don't have to see it. But he said, I am going to judge this nation. And during the reign of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar came in with the Babylonians. You're familiar with this. And they tore the wall down. They burnt the temple to the ground. They burnt the palaces to the ground. And the New Living says, and what survivors there were, they took back to Babylon. So God fulfilled his word through the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah. He warned them this was going to happen. Now, I'm saying this to say this. When they came back after 70 years of captivity, it's common understanding they never worshiped idols again. My dad used to say God broke them a sucking eggs. And they never did idol worship again. God said that through the prophet Isaiah, when all this was going on, he said, "You're my witnesses. I alone am God. There is no other God." And then at another time, he said, "You are my witnesses. There's no God formed before me, nor shall there be one after me." Well, it finally sunk in. And when Jesus claimed to be I am, they were immediately offended and said, "Well, you've blasphemed. The Lord our God is one. You can't be God." And I hear people today say that. I had a man one time got so mad at me. We were talking about Jesus and the cross. And he made some comment about, "Well, Jesus was an angel." And I said, "No, he's God." "Well, then was he talking to himself?" I said, "No, he was God, the Word, who became a man, and as the servant of God, he spoke to the Father." It's not complicated. He left the church. Told me I was a bad preacher. He wasn't coming back. Sometimes when people do that, I just say, "Bless God. I don't have time to be arguing with all these people." Especially when they want to get up in your face. I thought he was going to hit me. Boy, he was hot. The things that Jesus claimed, not everyone welcomes. They were ready to kill him. "What do you mean you're I am? You can't be I am." And I hear those arguments to this day. Jesus can't be God. We're studying the cults. Some of them teach, well, he was an angel who became a man. But the Bible says that he didn't come to save the angels. He came to save people. So he partook of our humanity. He was all man and all God. Jesus isn't half man and half God. He was all God. It says in Philippians that even though he was God, he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, a person, and he became obedient to death, even on the cross. And people have a problem with that. Paul said the preaching of the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. As I said this morning with that song, "Near the cross isn't a one-time event, church. The cross is something that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, should go to every day. That power isn't just for when you come to Christ. It is to sustain you through life. When you get in the dark, what do? Jesus said, "I am the light. If you'll follow me, you won't be in the dark." When you're in doubt, what do? You go to Jesus. When you're hungry and thirsty spiritually, what do? Jesus said, "You come to me." You notice he didn't say, "Well, go to church and just hope the preacher preaches on something that you're wanting to hear about." He said, "You come to me." He said, "If you want salvation, you come to me." And now he's standing up and he has the audacity before these people of God, God's covenant people, to say, "I am." I've told you before that it's amazed me. He spoke in parables so much, and then he would get his inner circle off and explain them. And they would ask him, "Why do you do that?" And he said, "Because they're not supposed to understand." But he said, "It's been given to you to understand the mysteries." So Jesus would explain the parables. But there were times Jesus very plainly told people who he was. You remember the woman at the well at Samaria? She said, "Well, when the Christ comes, the Messiah, he'll tell us all things." What did Jesus say? "The one that's talking to you is he. I'm the Messiah." At his trial, the false witnesses didn't jive. Their stories conflicted, and under the law of Moses, you had to have two witnesses whose testimony agreed in order to crucify somebody, in order to stone them. They wanted to condemn him to death. They had to have two witnesses whose stories matched. And it said even their false witnesses contradicted one another. They were going to have to let him go. So the high priest, in a moment of desperation, looked at the Lord and said, "I adjure you by the living God to tell us plainly, are you the Christ, the Son of the living God?" You remember what the Lord said? "I am. And after this, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great glory." Now, the Son of Man was also a term of deity. If you read the book of Daniel, Daniel said, "I saw the Ancient of Days seated on a throne, and all the host of heaven gathered around him." And he said, "I saw one like a Son of Man." Daniel said he looked like a man. Son of Man in the Hebrew is son of Adam. That's literally what that means. "I saw one like a son of Adam approach the throne, and a kingdom was given to him, and power was given to him, and his kingdom will never end. It'll last forever and ever." So when Jesus said, "I am the Christ, I am the Son of God, and I am the Son of Man," what was the priest's reaction? He tore his robes. Blasphemy. We don't need any more witnesses. And all the other guys were sitting there sucking their breath in. "Did you hear what he said? He's the Son of Man." Now, he claimed to be the Son of God, and they wanted to stone him for that because they said, "You're making yourself equal with God." Well, guess what? He is equal with God. He is God. That's the point he was trying to get across. And at this point, this is just before, not long before he's crucified, Jesus just lays it all out. When he's talking to these people, he said, "I am." And they said, "You went too far, boy. You're going to have to die for that." He's speaking to the crowd one day, and they didn't like what he said. And he looked at him and said, "If you don't believe me, believe the works that I'm doing." You know, the Bible bears witness that Jesus did works that no prophet ever did. No one ever did. You remember when Nicodemus came to him, recorded in John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and the scriptures say a lot of the Pharisees believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him because they'd kick him out of the fraternity, out of the Pharisee order, and they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They weren't willing to give that up. But he came to the Lord and said, "We know you are a teacher sent from God, because no one could do the things you do unless God was with him." And Jesus, when he was talking to the crowds and they would rebuke him for something he'd say, and his teaching, he said, I'm just telling you what the Father told me. When he did the miracles and they said he's demon-possessed, Jesus said, "I'm just doing the works the Father told me to do." Jesus never took credit. He didn't walk around patting himself on the back. Everything he did was for the glory of the Father. And he told him that. He said, "I'm telling you what the Father told me to tell you. The works that you see me doing, it's the Father working through me." And he said, "If you don't believe my words, at least consider what I'm doing. Understand that God is working through me." What'd they do? "Well, you're demon possessed. That's how you're doing these miracles." One historian called Jesus the magician. Time Life, Reader's Digest, I'll take that back, did a documentary, and they said when he was a little boy, mom and dad took him to Egypt, which is scriptural, but he learned the magic arts while he's in Egypt. Then he went to India, and he learned from the sages. That's where he got his wisdom. That's just the world trying to explain things that they don't understand. The Bible tells us who he is. He told the Jews, "One wiser than Solomon is here." He's the one that gave Solomon that wisdom. He's the I am that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. He had every right to stand there and say, "I am." He was trying to open the eyes of these people and say, "You need to realize who I am. I am your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." When Satan tempted our Lord, one of the temptations, if you remember, it said he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their power and their glory. And he said, "I'll give all of this to you if you'll just worship me." That's what he's always wanted. If you read, I think it's in the prophecies of Ezekiel, it talks about the I wills of Lucifer. I will do this. Jesus didn't say I will, he said I am. And Satan said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give this to you. You know what he was doing? He was trying to offer him a shortcut to go around the cross. Satan knows the Bible. God said that first his Messiah would have to suffer, then he would inherit all these kingdoms. The devil always wants to offer a shortcut. I hear a lot of it in a lot of preaching today. Oh, it's a cinch to follow Jesus. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you better count the cost, because it could cost you your family, it could cost your job, it could even cost you your life, it could cost you relationships. That's satanic when preachers stand up and say, following Jesus is a piece of cake. It's all about you. God wants to bless you. Just follow Jesus, and you get to pick what's behind door number one, door number two, or door number three. That's how it feels to me. It's like a game show. Jesus preached hard. He preached the truth. And he stood there and told these people the truth. I am. And they wanted to kill him. I'll get back to what I was saying. Satan tempted the Lord, and he offered him a shortcut. You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give you those kingdoms. Just bow down and worship. You remember what the Lord said? Get behind me. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the scriptures say the devil left him. Think he had his bottom lip stuck out? He didn't worship me. He wouldn't even get on one knee. But you know, another thing that convinces me personally that Jesus is God, he accepted worship. He received it from people. If you remember the incident when Peter went to Cornelius, Cornelius had that vision after the day of Pentecost, and Peter was at one place, and Cornelius was a Roman centurion who worshiped God, and God sent an angel to him and told him how to be saved. He said, send for this guy, Peter, and he'll come and tell you what you need to do. And Peter wasn't too sure about going there, so God gave him a vision and said, yeah, you need to go. I sent these guys. I want you to go preach. So Peter's going down. And it said when he got there, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. You know what Peter did? He picked him up and said, don't do that. I'm just a man. When John received the revelation, in Revelation 22, it's recorded, John said, when it was over, I fell at the feet of the angel to worship him. And the angel said, don't do that. I am one of your fellow servants, like you and the prophets, one of your brothers. He said, worship God only. So here we have a man, Peter wouldn't accept worship. There was an angel, a holy angel wouldn't accept worship, but Jesus accepted worship. That had to grate a lot of people. Why did he accept worship? Because he's worthy of it. He's God. A leper came to him, and the scriptures say he fell at his feet and worshiped and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. A Canaanite woman came to him whose daughter was demon-possessed. Jesus wouldn't talk to her, but eventually it said she fell at his feet and worshiped and said, Lord, please heal my daughter. A synagogue ruler named Jairus came to Jesus while he was teaching, and it said he worshiped him and said, Lord, my little girl is dying. Please come put your hand on her. Jesus didn't say, wait a minute, don't call me Lord. Don't get up, don't bow to me, I'm just a man. He received the worship because he's God. I'm convinced of that, church. If Jesus isn't God, He's not even a good teacher because he received worship from these people. I've told people, well, I think Jesus was just a good prophet. Well, no, because he claimed he was God. And if he claimed that and he's not God, he's not even a good prophet. I wouldn't listen to anything else he had to say. His own disciples. You remember the story when Jesus walked on the lake during the storm? And when he got into the boat, the storm calmed. And what does the scripture say? His disciples fell at his feet and worshiped him. And they said, you really are the Son of God. And Jesus received it. Jesus accepted it. He didn't correct them. You remember the blind man that he healed in John chapter 9? This is right after this conversation. They took up stones to stone him, but it was as he was leaving, he saw a blind beggar sitting there, and his disciples said, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one of them sinned. This man was born blind so the works of God could be made manifest in him. And he said again within the hearing of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other hypocrites, I am the light of the world, and as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And he spit on the ground and made mud and put it on the guy's eyes. You all know the story. And he sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash, and he came back seeing. Like I said the other day, I bet the Pharisees were just vibrating across the pavement, because not only did he say he was the light of the world, he proved it. And when they were interrogating the blind man, they kept trying to tell him, this guy's a sinner. We don't know where he came from. Give the glory to God. And I love what the blind man says. Well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but here's what I know. I was blind, now I can see. It's like he was saying, explain that to me. And he said, if this man weren't from God, he couldn't do this. And they cast him out. They disfellowshipped him. See, that's what the other Pharisees were afraid of, and a lot of the people, they wouldn't confess Jesus because they didn't want to be cast out. This guy, I think he thought, I don't have anything to lose. And they cast him out, and it said Jesus found him. Jesus went looking for him when he heard they'd cast him out. Aren't you glad Jesus looks for the outcast? Yeah, I was an outcast. He came looking for me. You were outcast, some of you, and he came looking for you. I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me. That's the kind of God we serve. And it said when he found him, Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, some translations say the Son of God, and people throw a fit and go, they've mistranslated that. That's an adulterated. No, there's nothing adulterated about it. It's the same thing. It's a title of deity. And the guy said, who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said, you've seen him, and it's the one talking to you. You remember what he did? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Made the Pharisees so mad they wanted to spit. Look at that guy standing there letting that guy worship him, calling him Lord. Well, as I said, it's only blasphemy if it's not true. God said through the prophet Isaiah, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And I imagine they could quote that scripture verbatim. And they may have used that scripture to think this guy's crazy. There's only one God, and there is only one God. Well, I don't believe in the Trinity. What do you do in the book of Revelation when John said he saw the seven spirits of God before the throne? You want to complicate numbers, complicate things? I saw the seven spirits. He saw the lamb who had been slaughtered from the foundation of the earth. Who's that? Jesus. And he had seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. I'm not trying to get in an argument about the Trinity, but I'm just saying, people say, well, I don't believe in the Trinity. Well, there's some numbers in the Bible you ought to kind of consider. Well, I don't think that's literal spirits. That's fine. Well, I don't believe Jesus can be God. I can't convince you of that. The Holy Spirit has to. I'm going to close with the passage from Revelation. Jesus speaking to John. Now, this is Jesus speaking. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now that's in chapter 1. This is Jesus talking to John. Here's in chapter 22, the final chapter. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. How many of you understand you can't have two first and last? If Jesus was not who he claimed to be, and he'd have made that statement in the kingdom of heaven, he'd hit the ground quicker than the devil. He'd have been cast out of heaven for saying something like that. If he wasn't the Son of God, if he wasn't God in the flesh, he might have said, well, I'm the second and the next to the last. You know, God's the first and the last. I'm the second and next to the last. Jesus didn't do that. You can't have two first and two last. God had not told the nation of Israel, I am the first and the last, and there is no God beside me. Jesus said to John, I am the first and the last. I am convinced that's who he is. God the Word who became a man and came to earth and lived among people and died on a cross because of a vile wretch like me and like you. What kind of love is that? How can we not trust a God like that? How can we as Christians moan and bellyache and complain? God's just not fair. God doesn't care. Really? He took a beating for you and for me. They spit in his face and slapped him. When it says the band of soldiers struck him in the face, there were 100 soldiers in a band. 100 people took turns slapping and spitting on him, and he never said a word. He took it because that's what he had to do in order for you and I to be reconciled. So he said to John, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Wash their robes in what? In the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that can take away sins, the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good works. You can't go to church enough. Jesus Christ has to cleanse us from our sins. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify about these things. Jesus is the great I am. That's my opinion. Nobody will ever talk me out of it. Nobody to me can prove any different. And it impresses me and moves me so much when I think about the God who created the universe cared enough about somebody like me to come down and bear my sins. How dare we say to this world, well, we have to sin in word, thought, and deed because we are just fleshly creatures. No. Jesus Christ came to take care of that. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And all the other I ams, we didn't go into all of them. We could have spent a couple months in this. Jesus is everything and everyone that he claimed to be. Do you believe that this morning? Well, some of you do. Would you stand with me? It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to take a stand, church. We've got the deviants trying to teach us about morality and marriage, and the church sits with their hands in their lap. I've heard people say, well, we're just living in the end times. That's just the way things are. God's ordained us. No. This church, this generation, the church is responsible for this generation that we live in. Jesus said we're to be light and salt. We're to be witnesses. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to take a stand for the truth. I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about being aggressive. I'm talking about taking a stand for the truth. Peter said, be ready to give an answer for anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. Can you do that? You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Do you have the relationship with Jesus Christ, the communion with Him, that you can speak from your heart and say, well, this is what He's done in my life? You believe Jesus is the I Am. How has that changed your life? It's not about just going to church and putting money in the box and being water baptized. How has He changed you? How has your faith in Jesus Christ changed you? And if He has changed you, are you willing to tell others about it?